Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." So we have a visual aid on the screen there to recognize the two different holidays that are going on this evening. So Ash Wednesday falls on any given date three or four times in any given century. And so most recently, this happened in 2018, actually, which was not that long ago. It'll happen again in 2029, and then not again while any of us in this room are still alive. So, now you've learned something. So this is what I said as I marked that cross on your forehead. I said, "Remember that you are dust." And we marked this sign of guilt and grief, of sorrow, of hope. We marked this really deep truth of human life, that one of the fundamental pieces of what it is to be a human being in the world is to, on some level, already know this thing that I told you to remember. On some level, we already know, we understand how small and limited and short our lives may be. And so it feels really sort of deeply, intimately loving to say that to you as you come forward. And it feels loving to me first because it's true. It's just plain true. And once we've established that we know this about what life in this world is like, then we can start to move on into and through this life in the world. This is something we can't escape. But I think there's also a grace in pointing it out, because it's a way of saying to us, it's a way of hearing myself, that we don't have to keep it all together all the time. Because we are already dust, and we are going back to dust. And so any togetherness we may happen to keep at any given point during life, that's like icing on the cake. But there's also an awe. There's a sense of awe I feel as I hold those ashes and prepare to place those on your foreheads, because it's a way of saying, too, that you are precious. You are precious. You are irreplaceable. And I am so very glad that you are here, that we can be here together. And so, yeah, it's funny to see that profound truth of life on a candy heart, because we know not to take candy hearts seriously. Most of us know not to take them internally, in fact. But we know that those candy hearts, they have sort of the warm, fuzzy kind of sayings, right? They don't have the really deep, God's honest truth on them most of the time. And most of us, when we're honest, we don't really take the roses and the love songs 100% seriously either. And you are welcome to, if that is how you express your love for the significant other in your life. but the way that we express love is not the same as the love itself that we express. The way that we express love is not the same as the love itself that we express. Because genuine love is not about having warm, fuzzy feelings all the time, right? We know this if we've lived for very long at all, and we definitely know that genuine love is not what's for sale in the candy aisle. Genuine love is about commitment and effort and devotion and sacrifice. I'm allowed to say that word on Ash Wednesday. I do sound this way at weddings as well, incidentally, because I care about marriage a lot more than I care about weddings, and I care about love a lot more than I care about romance, and most of you know the difference between those things, whether experientially or because you have seen it around you. There's an author, Heidi Priebe, who has said it better than I can. She said, "To love someone long-term is to attend 1,000 funerals of the people they used to be." To love someone long-term is to attend 1,000 funerals of the people they used to be. The people they're too exhausted to be any longer, the people they don't recognize inside themselves anymore, the people they grew out of, the people they never ended up growing into. We so badly want the people we love to get their spark back when it burns out, to become speedily found when they become lost. But it is not our job. It is not our job to hold anyone accountable to the people they used to be. It is our job to travel with them between each version and to honor what emerges along the way. Sometimes it will be an even more luminescent flame. Sometimes it will be a flicker that disappears and temporarily floods the room with a perfect and necessary darkness. To love someone long term is to attend 1,000 funerals of the people they used to be, and you could say it the other way too, to attend 1,000 births of the people they are still becoming. You are dust. And that means, among other things, it means that who you are becoming comes from the end of who you were before. And we get to love each other through that. So we're entering into this season of Lent, these 40 days that we prepare for Jesus' death and resurrection. And so this is a season when we appropriately meditate on the way that new life comes from death. Jesus has been teaching his disciples what this is going to mean for him. And so he began, as we began the reading tonight, with who Jesus is. He is the Messiah, God's anointed Savior. And he asks the disciples to name that. He asks them, "Do you know who I am?" Because each one of us has to figure that piece out on our own, and usually more than once. And then Jesus goes on and he teaches what it means to be the Messiah, and especially the way that God's power to save relates to our human power to control. And he says that the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected and die and 3 days later be raised again. And that, of course, is where Peter starts to get it wrong after he had gotten it so very right just a few verses before. Because Peter's a human being. And he thinks and acts the way that human beings act, and he wants to avoid death and resurrection. Not because he doesn't like resurrection, but because death is right on the way to it. We can all get our theology right and our discipleship wrong. And so Jesus calls Peter Satan, which is a little strongly stated, I think. And then he turns and calls the entire crowd. Here the reading continues. Jesus called the crowd with his disciples. And he said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And he said to them, truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power. This is the word of the Lord. I said Jesus went on to explain things. I overstated the case just a little bit there. That doesn't explain anything, does it? That just really deepens the mystery, invites us into the depth of mystery that the season of Lent is all about, that somehow, Jesus' death on the cross leads to our salvation. Now, as a program note, on Sunday mornings, our sermons are going to dig into some of the various ways of understanding what it means that Jesus' death on the cross makes the way for our salvation. And we'll go into a little bit more depth about some of those understandings and contemporary issues if you are so interested, but you are not required to come to contemporary issues in order to participate in Sunday morning worship. But we're going to wonder together about what it means that Jesus' death on the cross makes for our salvation. It doesn't always add up. And there's no one way of understanding all of that, and no one of them is going to finally resolve the question. Instead, they are invitations into a mystery. That's what tonight is an invitation into a mystery. Because God's thoughts, Jesus says, are different from human thoughts. Human thoughts understand the way that death makes for death, and God's thoughts understand the way that life comes even out of death. So Peter is just like all of us, just as we confess ourselves to be at the beginning of this worship service, we want to avoid death. We want to just cruise right on to victory. And instead, what Jesus wants is to reveal God's heart for the world. In God's heart, life comes from change and growth and transformation, and true love walks with us through change and death and life and change again. God's heart comes into conflict with the ways of the world because the ways of the world tend to resist that change and growth when you get right down to it. And Jesus' life looks like loss and failure in human terms when you get right down to it. And the love of God means letting go, even when it is someone that we knew. Because true love is about attending 10,000 funerals of the people we used to be. And love walks along that journey of surrender and loss, and through that journey leads eventually into life again, because resurrection inevitably does conquer death. That is the truth that we stand on, and that journey through is the mystery that we enter tonight. So during Lent, we are going to be invited to celebrate new life for the people that we love, to notice what is new and different about the people around us and celebrate that, to apologize when we want to be free from that past that feels like it's holding us down, to tell the truth about who we are and who we truly want to be. And so we started doing that already tonight. We wear these ashes now as a sign of change, and we come very soon to this table to receive the gift of new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.